27. Vast and black. The thing that was poised, like a crow over the moon. Round and smooth. Cannonballs. Things that have fallen from the sky to this earth. Our slippery brains. Things like cannonballs have fallen, in storms, upon this earth. Like cannonballs are things that, in storms, have fallen to this earth. Showers of blood. Showers of blood. Showers of blood. Whatever it may have been, something like red brick dust, or a red substance in a dried state, fell at Piedmont, Italy, October 27, 1814, Electric Magazine, 68-437. A red powder fell, in Switzerland, winter of 1867, Popsi Revelation, 10-112. That something, far from this earth, had bled Superdragon that had rammed a comet. Or that there are oceans of blood somewhere in the sky, substance that dries, and falls in a powder, wafts for ages in powdered form, that there is a vast area that will someday be known to aviators as the desert of blood. We attempt little of supertopography, at present, but ocean of blood, or desert of blood, or both, Italy is nearest to it or to them. I suspect that there were corpus cleis in the substance that fell in Switzerland, but all that could be published in 1867 was that in this substance there was a high proportion of variously shaped organic matter. At Gießen, Germany, in 1821, according to the report of the British Association, 5-2, fell a rain of a peach red color. In this rain were flakes of a hyacinthian tint. It is said that the substance was organic, we are told that it was pyrine. But distinctly enough, we are told of one red rain that it was of corpuscular composition, red snow, rather. It fell, March 12, 1876, near the Crystal Palace, London, Year Book of Facts, 1876-89, Nature, 13-414. As to the red snow of polar and mountainous regions, we have no opposition, because that snow has never been seen to fall from the sky, it is a growth of microorganisms, or of a protococcus, that spreads over snow that is on the ground. This time nothing is said of sand from the Sahara. It is said of the red matter that fell in London, March 12, 1876, that it was composed of corpus cleis. Of course. That they looked like vegetable cells. A note. That 9 days before had fallen the red substance flesh, whatever it may have been, of Bath County, Kentucky. I think that a superegotist, vast, but not so vast as it had supposed, had refused to move to one side for a comet. We summarize our general supergeographical expressions. Gelatinous regions, sulfurous regions, frigid and tropical regions, a region that has been source of life relatively to this earth, regions wherein there is density so great that things from them, entering this earth's thin atmosphere, explode. We have had a datum of explosive hailstones. We now have support to the acceptance that they had been formed in a medium far denser than air of this earth at sea level. In the Popular Science News, 22-38, is an account of ice that had been formed, under great pressure, in the laboratory of the University of Virginia. When released and brought into contact with ordinary air, this ice exploded. And again the flesh-like substance that fell in Kentucky, its flake-like formation. Here is a phenomenon that is familiar to us, it suggests flattening, under pressure. But the extraordinary inference is pressure not equal on all sides. In the Annual Record of Science, 1873-350, it is said that, in 1873, after a heavy thunderstorm in Louisiana, a tremendous number of fish scales were found, for a distance of 40 miles, along the banks of the Mississippi River, bushels of them picked up in single places, large scales that were said to be of the garfish, a fish that weighs from 5 to 50 pounds. It seems impossible to accept this identification. One thinks of a substance that had been pressed into flakes or scales. And round hailstones with wide thin margins of ice irregularly around them still, such hailstones seem to me more like things that had been stationary, had been held in a field of thin ice. In the Illustrated London News, 34-546, are drawings of hailstones so margined, as if they had been held in a sheet of ice. Someday we shall have an expression which will be, to our advanced primitiveness, a great joy. That devils have visited this earth, foreign devils, human-like beings, with pointed beards, good singers, one shoe ill-fitting but with sulfurous exhalations, at any rate. I have been impressed with the frequent occurrence of sulfurousness with things that come from the sky. A fall of jagged pieces of ice, Orkney, July 24, 1818, Transaction Roy. S.O.C. Eden, 9-187. They had a strong sulfurous odor. And the coke or the substance that looked like coke that fell at Mortrey, France, April 24, 1887, with it fell a sulfurous substance. The enormous round things that rose from the ocean, near the Victoria. Whether we still accept that they were superconstructions that had come from a denser atmosphere and, in danger of disruption, had plunged into the ocean for relief, then rising and continuing on their way to Jupiter or Uranus, it was reported that they spread a stench of sulfur. At any rate, this datum of proximity is against the conventional explanation that these things did not rise from the ocean, but rose far away above the horizon, with illusion of nearness. And the things that were seen in the sky July 1898, I have another note. In Nature, 58-224, a correspondent writes that, upon July 1, 1898, at Sadeburg, he had seen in the sky a red object or, in his own wording, something that looked like the red part of a rainbow, about 10 degrees long. But the sky was dark at the time. The sun had set. A heavy rain was falling. Throughout this book, the datum that we are most impressed with. Successive falls. Or that, if upon one small area, things fall from the sky, and then, later, fall again upon the same small area, they are not products of a whirlwind, which though sometimes axially stationary, discharges tangentially. So the frogs that fell at Wigan. I have looked that matter up again. Later more frogs fell. As to our data of gelatinous substance said to have fallen to this earth with meteorites, it is our expression that meteorites, tearing through the shaky, protoplasmic seas of Genesis trine against which we warn aviators, or they may find themselves suffocating in a reservoir of life, or stuck like currants in a Blanc mange, that meteorites detach gelatinous, or protoplasmic, lumps that fall with them. Now the element of positiveness in our composition yearns for the appearance of completeness. Supergeographical lakes with fishes in them. Meteorites that plunge through these lakes, on their way to this earth. The positiveness in our makeup must have expression in at least one record of a meteorite that has brought down a lot of fishes with it. Nature, 3-512. That, near the bank of a river, in Peru, February 4, 1871, a meteorite fell. On the spot, it is reported, several dead fishes were found, of different species. The attempt to correlate is that the fishes are supposed to have been lifted out of the river and dashed against the stones. Whether this be imaginable or not depends upon each one's own hypnosis. Nature, 4-169. That the fishes had fallen among the fragments of the meteorite. Popular Science Review, 4-126. That one day, Mr. L. E. Gould, an Australian scientist, was traveling in Queensland. He saw a tree that had been broken off close to the ground. Where the tree had been broken was a great bruise. Nearby was an object that resembled a 10-inch shot. A good many pages back there was an instance of overshadowing, I think. The little carved stone that fell at Tarbes is my own choice as the most impressive of our new correlates. It was coated with ice, remember. Suppose we should sift and sift and discard half the data in this book, suppose only that one datum should survive. To call attention to the stone of Tarbes would, in my opinion, be doing well enough, for whatever the spirit of this book is trying to do. Nevertheless, it seems to me that a datum that preceded it was slightingly treated. The disc of quartz, said to have fallen from the sky, after a meteoric explosion. Said to have fallen at the plantation Blyendel, Dutch Guiana, sent to the Museum of Leiden by M. van Sypesteen, adjutant to the governor of Dutch Guiana, notes and queries, February 8, 92. And the fragments that fall from supergeographic ice fields, flat pieces of ice with icicles on them. I think that we did not emphasize enough that, if these structures were not icicles, but crystalline protuberances, such crystalline formations indicate long suspension quite as notably as would icicles. In the Popular Science News, 24-34, it is said that in 1869, near Tiflis, fell large hailstones with long protuberances. The most remarkable point in connection with the hailstones is the fact that, judging from our present knowledge, a very long time must have been occupied in their formation. According to the Geological Magazine, 7-27, this fall occurred May 27, 1869. The writer in the Geological Magazine says that of all theories that he had ever heard of, not one could give him light as to this occurrence. These growing crystalline forms must have been suspended a long time. Again and again this phenomenon. 14 days later, at about the same place, more of these hailstones fell. Rivers of blood that vein albuminous seas, or an egg-like composition in the incubation of which this earth is a local center of development, that there are super arteries of blood in Genesis Trine, that sunsets are consciousness of them, that they flush the skies with northern lights sometimes, super embryonic reservoirs from which life forms emanate. Or that our whole solar system is a living thing, that showers of blood upon this earth are its internal hemorrhages.